on Breakfast with Vossi, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
Almost couldn't imagine Nathan Lyon not in the test side. He's just, you know, part of the furniture for so long. I mean, I know everything has to come to an end, but you know, Warnie, the greatest ever, is putting a bit of heat on him, saying it's time to perform. Disappointing last summer and can't... Well, basically, I think Warnie was writing him off yesterday at the Fox Cricket launch of the Ashes. Not writing him off in the respect that it's all over, definitely. He's writing him off if he doesn't perform well early in the series. He will make that change and make it quick.
The best normally thrive under pressure.
Oh, well, that would be good too. Wouldn't that be the way to go back? You know, Nathan Lyon does it all. But, you know, one of the more popular figures in Australian sport, I think, Nathan Lyon.
It's been great. So.
Yeah. Now, look, for rugby league fans, will we have a decision this side of Christmas about Appy Coruscant, where he is headed? We're not talking about next year. We're talking about 2023. Will we have a decision this side of Christmas?
Oh, I can guarantee we will. You know, he's a bit spoilt for choice at the moment. The West Tigers, they're very active in the market at the moment. And of course, they weren't able to secure Josh Hodgson. And that was because of, you know, finances broke down there. They didn't want to chip in as much as what they were being asked to. So we always have known for some time that they've had their eye on Appy. And I do say this with hesitation. Every time we mention the Dolphins, we're sort of, a player that's up for grabs, we mention the Dolphins. And I don't want to kind of get sucked into that because I did try and firm this up and they sort of said to me that they legitimately have no interest. So I'm not sure that that is an option. But the Panthers, they've got a few issues with their salary cap. They'd love to keep him, but he'd have to take a pay cut. Well, the other way around that is to, I guess, revise their offer and give him another year on the deal. But I understand they aren't prepared to let him leave, though, as well, for 2022. So we are talking 2023. It's a weird situation. And I suppose even when you look at the Tigers, Wossy, if he was to go to the Tigers, that'd cause a bit of a fallout and I guess force Jacob Little to be looking for a new club. I mean, that guy's been through hell and back with injuries, had quite a career, but never really fully can establish himself, and that'd just be awful for him. I just wanted to briefly mention too, utility Ben Hampton with the Cowboys. Really scary situation for him. Absolute nightmare. He suffered a serious hamstring injury at training and there were fears that he completely tore it off the bone, but it is just hanging in there partly. That probably sounds gross. I hope people aren't eating their breakfast, but really nasty and a tough road for him all the way back to that. He's highly likely to miss the first couple of rounds of the season. Tough going there for the Cowboys.
Alrighty. I was just thinking about Little, though. You could say glass half empty, glass half full. Glass actually half full, because if Josh Hodgson came, he was going to be there right from the get-go next season, whereas Appy is like a stay of proceedings that he's got a whole year to keep the spot. There's no chance Appy would be... I mean, there's another one. I mean, is Appy vaccinated yet? Is he going to get vaccinated?
No, I believe he's still...
Would Appy move straight away? Or no, definitely Penrith.
Yeah, no, I understand that he's still not vaccinated. Not sure where he's going to be going with that one. And I'm pretty sure his preference is to stay at the Panthers. And you know, I mean, the obvious choice would be if it was to take a bit of a cut, but the longevity of playing, you know, I suppose that's the way he'd go. But maybe a new challenge at the Tigers. You just don't know.
All right. Now, we have plenty of news coming out of Bathurst. It was eventful, the practice session, of course. Both practice sessions, the second one, finished early as a result of dramas. But also this morning, there's been a bit of, away from the great race, there's been a bit of news.
Yeah, the covers are off. Supercars entering a new era. The Gen 3, it's the new models. They'll be racing in the Repco Supercar Championship from 2023. Vossi, I don't normally get really excited about cars. That's sort of what my sons do and my husband, but these look mint. It's the Ford Mustang GT and the General Motors Chevy Camaro. Gen 3 rules will stipulate that the races will have the same key dimensions as road cars. So they're sort of moving into that kind of market, I guess. So things like doors, the bonnet, the roof, the windows, they'll look like pretty much like a normal car, but all a bit sort of pimped up. So, and both of these cars have given a bit of a nod to the supercars of the past. They actually look really, really good. Of course, this afternoon, as you say, yesterday's practice, Chas Mostert and Lee Holdsworth, their combination is absolutely fantastic. Practice continues today. The third practice gets underway at 10:45, then again at 1:35, their 60-minute sessions. Qualifying later this afternoon at 4:30, and I guess the slowest 15 drivers from this afternoon's qualifying, they'll know where they all sit on the grid for Sunday, and the top 10 shootout will sort the rest of them out for tomorrow morning.
Sunday, so people are going to be sitting around having their Sunday roast, if that's what they have on a Sunday night, watching the end of the race. I mean, it is absolute prime time finish. You can never be 100% accurate as to when the race will finish. It'll finish sometime between 6 and 8, by my calculations. So it's can be right. Like, yeah, you're there.
It's sort of
everyone
like for
quiet,
me.
Quiet, we're watching the race. Yeah, you can eat on the lounge tonight, kids. It's allowed.
For me, it's kind of like the test cricket. You drop in and out, and then, you know, the last couple of hours, you just can't leave the lounge. Mm. It's just too good.
Yeah, so Matty White was talking about that yesterday. You've got to have a game plan. Like, is your game plan, yes, you're obviously tuning to the start, but it's a later start now. So it's almost like you're going to have the start with lunch, then come back in and out all day, and then you're in for dinner to watch the last 20 laps. So that was part of what was discussed on Matty White's program yesterday. Now, you were at the launch of the Winx Grandstand at Randwick yesterday, but there was more to the day than just that.
Well, it was extremely emotional. I've never seen... So one of the Winx owners, part owners, Peter Ties, normally, you know, got himself together and we were talking about how fantastic the Winx stand is. And, you know, it's on that 200-metre mark where, of course, she used to sort of, you know, make her move to storm home that Randwick mile. And he got a little bit teary. Like, we all know Chris Waller, you know, cries at the drop of a hat. And no offence to Chris there. He's just a very emotional person, great guy. And, of course, Debbie Capitis, the other part owner, you know, she's known to be a bit emotional. After races, but there was so much more behind the tears, and that was the fact that they'd been told just the night before, full confirmation, that Winx was in foal. Winx is going to become a mum again. It'll be a really tough, 10 or 11 months because they went through all the heartache of Winx, obviously losing the foal first up. But what wonderful news for all the connections and, you know, to be able to, the timing of it was just superb, being able to, you know, talk about that on the launch of the Winx stand, that very special, iconic place now at Randwick that'll be there for generations.
All righty. And we've been asking our listeners this morning to come up with a name for the foal by Pereiro, and Winx. And I've still got the very first suggestion. I like Nudge Nudge.
I loved it.
Is that stately enough or that's fine? Nudge Nudge?
That's fine. Loved it. Right. Thought it was great. Very
but
quick.
Does that give Pereiro enough credit for his role in the, in the operation?
Not really, but it's all about the mayor, isn't it?